Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's going on, everybody? Bear Bets Podcast UFL preview for week four is back. I'm the Bear, Chris Felica, alongside my co-host, Jeff Schwartz. And certainly it appears, Jeff, the more things change with two leagues combining into one, the more things stay the same.
Yeah.
With Birmingham now looking like an absolute juggernaut. They haven't lost in almost a calendar year. You scored more points than anyone in the league. You've allowed fewer points than anyone in the league. And now you've got Adrian Martinez kind of looking like the guy that everybody kind of thought he might have been in Nebraska with, but throwing for over 300 yards, running for 40 somewhat more. They look like a scary team, and certainly from a betting standpoint, not a team that I want to get behind, get in front of, and get in front of that Birmingham train. DC gets the honor of drawing Birmingham this weekend on Fox. The Stallions, an 8-point favorite in this game. Total is high at 47.
Yeah,
a lot of these games have been higher scoring in the last couple of weeks, so we'll see if that continues. But Birmingham sure the heck does look the part, and maybe is the best way to attack Birmingham for the remainder of the season. Just bet Birmingham to win the UFL title, because obviously if they get there, they're going to be a big favorite. You might offer yourself an opportunity to take a little underdog on the other side if you're looking maybe to kind of make a middle on that.
I think that's how you have to play. I mean, look, you can lay the 8 in this game. I think you might be okay. The number will keep creeping up there right until they lose, and then it'll kind of reset itself a little bit, especially with those totals too, because we saw a lot of high scoring last week. We talked last week of joking about all the unders that we saw. Well, we saw a bunch of overs in week three, and the numbers have adjusted. You know, Birmingham deciding to go with Martinez now, I think makes him even better, right, Bear? The two-quarterback system, I think, just – over time doesn't work. When you finally choose someone and they seem to have chosen correctly, that just kind of, I think, even just shoots your team even higher. So the ability for them to finally pick a quarterback, and also they've only allowed 13.7 points a game. So like you, as you mentioned, you have the best offense and the best defense. I don't know what's going to change between now and the end of the season for what this team is going to be. So I think that the best way to play it is, look, laying the 8 might be okay. It's a big number, obviously, for football, and the laying 8 in a professional sports league. But the future market is probably the best way to play them.
Yeah, in D.C., obviously, last week, a big comeback, 11 down, final 208 to get the win. So they're going to need to be much better taking on Birmingham this week. And then the other Fox game this week is San Antonio against Michigan. Yeah. Lowest total of the week at 41. San Antonio off of their first loss of the year last week. 1-point favorite, and they're going to have to go now. Chase Garber's quarterback now out for the season. He's going to be replaced by Quentin Dormady. So we'll see if San Antonio, another team, they've fallen behind every week. First couple of weeks, they came back and won. Last week, couldn't quite get there. So now they have a backup quarterback in there. We'll see if they can avoid getting behind might make that path a little bit tougher. That's the other Fox game this week.
Yeah, these teams are very close in stats, close to how they play. Garber's being out, a big bummer. RIP, my Pac-12 quarterback there, Bear. But Perry's playing well on the other side. It just feels like a stay away, right? It's a 1-point number right now. And just a game you watch, you don't put money on, and you see what the outcome ends up being. Because again, these teams are very close. Michigan does have a better kicker, though. 5 for 5 so far this year. I think a 64-yard kick, right? So, I think some of the longest kick for San Antonio this year has been 35 yards. So maybe in the end that plays a role toward Michigan winning this game. But otherwise, they're very close in points scored, points given up, rushing, passing, same on defense. So this is stay away for me.
Yeah, and you mentioned something about the place kicking. That might be something as well that's attributing a lot of these games have gone over the last couple of weeks. The kicking has been great in this league. Obviously, everyone knows Aubrey going on to the Cowboys, but this season, the place kicking percentage has been through the roof. So again, you're in a situation now where you're getting maybe I don't want to say guaranteed 3 points, but maybe once you get into scoring position and you have to settle for a field goal, the kicks are being made. Yeah. So keep that in mind if you're betting unders, like yeah. I am going to here with St. Louis and Memphis, the Battle Hawks -7 and a total of 45.5. I do like the under 45.5 in this game. I just want is Cookus going to be upright? Is he going to be able to walk? Is he going to be able to move? He's sacked 11 times already. Yep. He got sacked 5 times last week at Birmingham. I was on Memphis plus the points last week, and it just obviously was not the right side as Birmingham blew them out. So I think this is a situation where you've got St. Louis, who has a kind of a pass-first offense, but they use it kind of in replacement of the running game with McCarron and the receivers that they have. So I think you're going to see a lot of St. Louis controlling the ball, and Memphis probably just trying to keep it simple and play it a little bit safer on offense and put Cookus in a position to be able to survive and make it through not only the game but the season. So I can see this being kind of a deliberate type game, and I do think under 45.5, while like I said, we've seen a trend towards overs, I think under 45.5 is probably the way to go here.
I think Mike under 45, because as you mentioned, Memphis just doesn't score. They scored 18, 19, 14 points. You mentioned the sack numbers. That's 11 sacks, by the way, Bear. We need PFF to get on the pressure numbers and Sanchez each week for what we get each week. I mean, if there's 11 sacks, you know, there's what, 25, 30 pressures? Because we know that pressure to, you know, sack conversion takes a little bit of time to get home. So if you're getting sacked 11 times, that means you're being hit like 3 times as much as that, right? So, you know, those hits being added on don't really help. St. Louis, though, their offense has picked up recently. Darius Shepherd leads in all-purpose yards as well, so that helps on the special team side, which they have an advantage in this game as well. But I don't think Memphis can score on them, especially as you mentioned, being hit so much at the quarterback position. 11 sacks is a lot when you consider the rest of the league is at 5, 6. That 11 really stands out.
Yeah, it has, and I think, like you said, I think it all kind of adds up to kind of being a little bit protective this week and maybe a little bit cautious, which might lead to a lower scoring game. And I'm glad you mentioned Shepherd as well, because one thing that the UFL does really well with the kickoffs, you get to see this kid return kicks. And that's an exciting part of the game, and that's something that the NFL has gotten away from. I mean, they're concerned about player safety, but you're also costing players an opportunity to give themselves a career path. Like, I know one of the bigger things, I remember Mike Norvell at Memphis, they had great special teams like 3, 4 years in a row, even when he was gone. But like, that was one of the selling points on his program. Like, we're going to have great special teams. You're going to be able to return kicks, return punts. And now that the league is, the NFL is kind of shunning from kickoff returns. I mean, I know they kind of changed the model a little bit this year, but this UFL way of kickoff from the 20 and putting an exciting play back in the sport, I like it.
Well, I mean, Bear, as you mentioned, like, we're seeing the NFL rule changes now, I think, to put this back into the sport, as we see with the UFL and other spring leagues, right? They've added that excitement back. So I think there's actually a possibility where guys like Shepherd and other players get a better look at the NFL because they're special teams guys now, right? And there's a big penalty for kicking the ball out of the end zone upcoming, in the NFL now. So I like the idea of players from the UFL getting more looks. Obviously, that's kind of the point of a spring league, right? To compete, obviously, to earn a paycheck, but also to compete with an eye toward making National Football League. And special teams is a way to do that.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Turpin as well a couple of years ago, making the college roster. So, I mean, it's there, and hopefully the NFL will see it. And just quickly, the last game of the week, Carling, the one thing I've been right about so far with the UFL is that early on, you kind of got the win that Houston was going to be the worst team in the league. And I think when you look at a team that has committed more penalties and turned the ball over more often than anyone else and has had 3 kicks blocked so far this year, I think the Houston's kind of living up to the bill. Someone's going to get a win this week, and I'm sure Bob Stoops is a little unhappy with the fact that they've allowed a league-high 83 points.
Yeah.
So Arlington -3, 46.5 against Houston. Someone's going to win, Jeff. Do you have any idea who it might be?
I like Arlington laying the 3 points here. Roughnecks have the worst offense in the UFL. They average the least amount of yards, score the fewest points. They also have the second most points on defense, and bear on defense, they allow over 50% third down conversions. You know, Arlington offensively is fine. I mean, they haven't won yet, but they have the second most passing yards in the NFL, in the UFL, I should say, behind Perez. Like, they're moving the ball fine. Now you play a defense that isn't very good, with their defense is fine. Arlington's defense is about average. And you have a offense that can move the ball, that plays a defense that they can't convert. And to your point, like, they sort of are on the verge of winning, even though they're 0-3. Like, they're not as bad as other 0-3 teams in we've seen here, including the team they're playing in Houston. So I like Arlington to cover the 3 points. That's my favorite wager of the UFL weekend.
There we go. So just best bet of the week in the UFL, Arlington. I like the under in the St. Louis Memphis game, and you can have your own little bit of action on the UFL with the free Super Six game every week. Get behind six questions to answer, kind of like I said, every with combination of kind of gambling and fantasy, rank and receivers, what player is going to be the best. So it's a fun way. So make sure you check out the questions this week. Make sure you check out my little Super Six primer to maybe help you along as well. Anything else that you want to throw in there this week, Jeff?
Just be on the lookout for next week, guys. Draft podcast. Bear, I'm firing away on some draft wagers already. I'm very excited, and I'm excited to talk about all things NFL draft. It does feel like four quarterbacks, top four picks, so set your wagers accordingly.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Now, the question is I'm going to give you a little preview for next week, though. Like, the question's going to be, are we going to get a fifth?
In the first round? Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm not sure I laid the juice at over 4.5, but I think we get 5. I think there's a chance... I mean, there's an outside chance we get 6, but 5, I think, for sure. I think Penix is going the first round. Yeah.
I don't see Nick in the first round, bro.
I think I also took a Raiders today. I think plus 300 draft a quarterback first. That'll be Michael Penix. So stay tuned. Tuesday, guys, we're going to do a full draft. A
lot more of that. I can't wait. Yeah, we're looking forward to that next week as well. Kick around some draft props. Certainly a cottage industry for a lot of people, and I'm glad that we all now have the opportunity to wager on the draft, even though last year was not fun with Anthony Richardson going where he did to the Colts, that made Bears Bank a little emptier, I should say a lot emptier. But all right, week 4 of the UFL preview in the books. Hopefully everybody enjoys the weekend. Hopefully Jeff and I's picks will come through. Hopefully your Super 6 picks will come through as well, and you'll either heed or not listen to or fade whatever I had to say in my column. But we'll be back next week on Bear Bets Podcast, normal time with a draft preview. So again, appreciate you downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing wherever you get your podcast, checking us out on YouTube. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.